Today's scripture is John 13, 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Chris. As we get back to normal and we have ushers and things again, I want you to know that you too can be a liturgist. I make it really easy. I make it like big 16-point type and put it all on one piece of paper, so it's not as hard as it looks. Today, I'm struck with a tension between what the world looks like out there and what God is calling us to do in here. I look at this where he says you should love one another, and I realize how often this has been hammered home by Jesus over time. In Matthew 22, he's asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" And he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." And the second is like it, "Love your neighbor as yourself." This isn't a passing thing where he's just answering a simple question and moving on. It's something that he will bring up again and again and again. And hopefully it's something that really plants itself in our hearts. And when someone says, "Love the Lord," you begin to sing in your head, "Lord your God, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength." And it rings home. But I have to tell you, I've been watching the news this week, and it's a bit overwhelming. Seeing video of people screaming at the families of Supreme Court justices, people burning crisis pregnancy centers, and an 18-year-old man gunning down 10 people in Buffalo that he never even met. And I look at the world and I go, what are we supposed to do with this? How do we fix this? How do we change this? What do we do? The words of my management classes come back to me and they said, "If it is to be, it's up to me." No, it's not. It's not up to us, it's up to Jesus. But it's up to us to point to Jesus, to hold him up as the answer, because the world does seem to be getting dark, doesn't it? When I was in school, I was on the media classes and on the yearbook club. And what I would do is I would go into something called a dark room, and I would take film and I would turn it into pictures. And it was actual film and actual paper, and you had to put it in chemicals. But on the back side of the door was one of my favorite signs. It says, "This is a dark room. Keep the door closed. If you don't, all the dark leaks out." But in actuality, that's backwards. The darkness can't move. The darkness can't creep. The darkness can't leak in. The light leaks in. And there's where the encouragement for me comes. The darkness can't cover the earth if the light is shining. When the light shines, the darkness fades. One of the things that I remember is when I was with the chorus in Clarkston. At Christmas time, we sang a song. And the Clarkston Auditorium has no windows. And when you turn out the lights, it gets dark. So dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. But we sang a song. It went like this. It is better to light just one little candle than to stumble in the dark. Better far that you light just one little candle. All you need's a tiny spark. If we all said a prayer for the world to be free, what a wonderful dawn of a new day we'd see. And if everyone lit just one little candle, what a bright world it could be. By the time we finished, we had 68 people holding a candle. And you could see across that auditorium, the darkness had no power. Simple candle cast the darkness away. Henry Blackaby wrote a book called Experiencing God, and he said this: if the world is getting darker, don't blame the darkness. That's what darkness is. No, if the world is getting darker, the burden falls on us. We're supposed to let Christ's light shine. So there is a responsibility. There is something that we do, but it is not in us. The problem is I tried to illustrate it on the cover of the bulletin, is that it is really easy to love one another when things are going good. It's really easy to be nice to people who are nice to you. What's hard is to forgive people who've actually done something bad to you. And you say, well, I have a right to be mad at them. Maybe so. But have you ever been forgiven for something that you really did? Then, in the words of the old country saying, what goes around comes around. But in this case, it's not something bad that comes around, it's something good. Is as you have received forgiveness, you got to give it, even when you don't want to. Because Christ forgave you. C.S. Lewis wrote this in The Weight of Glory. It's a marvelous thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses. To remember that even the dullest, most uninteresting person you may meet in the course of your day will one day be a creature that if you saw it now, you'd be strongly tempted to fall down and worship because of the image of Christ within them. Or else it could be a horror of corruption that only in a nightmare you could ever imagine. All day long, we're in some degree helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in the light of these overwhelming possibilities, with the awe to properly understand them, that we should conduct all our dealings with one another, all friendships, all love, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You've never talked to a mere mortal. All are made in the image of Christ. Nations, cultures, civilizations, they are mortal. And their life as ours is to the lifespan of a gnat. Because it's with immortals that we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. We can build one another into horrors or everlasting splendors. Mother Teresa is oft quoted by saying, "Oh my, here comes Jesus in that hideous disguise again." The idea that as disconcerting as someone might appear, that Jesus is down inside. Proverbs 27 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one disciple sharpens another. We are to shine the light on one another, illuminate that image of Christ that is down inside us, to bring out what it is that this world so desperately needs. Because I do think that the world seems dark at times. And I have to admit, as I was reading the news this week, it took everything I had to get through it. But then I remembered these words from Lewis. Know that the nations, the cultures, the arts, the civilizations, the politics are mortal. And they end. But the image of Christ within us lives on. So when we're faced with these things where everything seems so dark, and people have done things that deserve condemnation, God calls us to love one another. I believe that when we teach things to children, we put them in terms that make them crystal clear to us. So I'm going to go back to a camp song, as I often do. It sets to music the words of Ephesians 4:32. And they've heard it before, because they've been to camp a lot of times. But it goes, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Do. He's 4:32. Got to have the doot-doots, right? You don't forgive them because they deserve it. You don't forgive them because you're such a great person. You don't forgive them because it will make the world great. You forgive them because Christ forgave you. It's an endless game of paying it forward for a debt that we can't possibly pay back. Love one another. Could you pray with me?